Good morning and welcome to Friday Live here on NET Radio, live from the Mill in Lincoln's Haymarket. I'm Genevieve Randall. This week, we'll meet a trio from Chicago in town for a holiday cabaret. We'll meet cast and crew from theater productions in Beatrice, Lincoln, and Manly. Plus, there are holiday concerts to talk about. The Ross Media Arts Center has a director in town this evening, and Midwest Ballet Company will talk about this year's performance of Nutcracker. You can see all of our guests this morning on our weekly live video stream. Just go to netnebraska.org/radio and click on the button that says live and on demand. My first guest made her name nationally known with her appearance on The Voice. Before that, she was a preschool teacher in Lincoln and is a native of Grand Island. She will perform on the Lead Center stage for performing arts on that main stage there for her Happy Holidays concert, Concert of Christmas Classics, that is on Thursday, December 21st at 7:30 p.m. Hannah Houston, it's great to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having me.
So I bet it was kind of fun to prepare Christmas music after all of, you know, all of the other stuff, the soulful and the pop music. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you choose for this concert?
Yeah, it was kind of a transition because I just got done writing a bunch of new music. And, you know, you're in a different world writing those, and then you have to switch to Christmas. So I've been focusing on Christmas music since, like, early November. So yeah, we have a bunch of arrangements done by Tom Larson, and they're just really fun. They suit my voice really well. And they're just like interesting spins on, you know, classic Christmas songs, and a couple surprises. So those will be, you know, like non-traditional Christmas tunes. So.
And you already mentioned you're joined by Tom Larson. Tell me about the rest of your band. Who else is accompanying you?
We have a bunch of UNL, professors as well as alum. We've got Stephen Cantarero, who's still a student, and Molly Rizek, who was a student there, Todd Garrison, Scott Anderson, Greg Simon, who am I forgetting? I think that's almost everybody. Oh, and Dave Hall.
And Dave Hall. That's everybody. Very nice, yeah. Very nice. What are some of your favorite Christmas songs?
I'm a huge fan of Ella Fitzgerald, so the album Ella and Louis Sing Christmas or whatever, I think that's the title of it. Mm-hmm. It's just so amazing, and I've always been a fan of Ella, so those are my favorites.
She's got that amazing style, so.
She does. I mean, she's got it all. She's just amazing. I just really love her.
Yeah.
So if I could be like anybody, it'd be her.
Like Ella Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Now, you know, last time you and I talked, you were getting ready to perform two concerts with Lincoln Symphony Orchestra.
That's right.
Both of those were sold-out concerts. No surprise. Congratulations on that. What's been going on since then? You said you were writing, too?
Yeah. So, first of all, that whole welcome home shows, were an absolute honor, and just, I was so, you know, you just never expect to sing at the Lead Center. You know, that wasn't what I came home to thinking that that would be my life.
Yeah.
So that was really a unique experience and lovely. But yeah, so we've done some different shows, a lot of good experience for me as a new performer, musician, but at the end of the day, it was like, I need to really put forth new art. New music, and so spent a lot of time in the studio writing and just trying to figure out what I want to sing about and how I want to sound. So yeah, new music will be coming out in 2018, which is really exciting. I will not be performing new music at the show. I wish I could. That'd be really fun. But yeah, so it's been a long journey, but I think the time was well spent, as in just lots of different changes. So Yeah, exciting.
I did see on your website that you have one single out titled I Alone Have Loved You. Is that one of the new pieces you've been working on?
That is not new.
Uh-huh.
To people it is. I've been singing this song for like 3 years now. It's been with me for a while. And then it finally got recorded as I prepared to go back onto The Voice in season 11. They invited me back to sing an original. So therefore, I was like, I got to record this.
Gotcha.
And then went on to promote that. But yeah, you can go get that on iTunes and all other sorts of platforms for music. But yeah, you can stream it or whatever. It's called I Alone Have Loved You, and it's about an Andrew Wyeth painting entitled Christina's World. And I wrote it a long time ago with my friend Crystal Davey. And it's just been a song that's been with me forever. And so we're excited to put more music out kind of in that vein, but a little different sound.
I like the idea of a song inspired by a painting, too.
Yeah, it came from that. Isn't that interesting? We wrote it in the context where we were going to submit it for a songwriting competition with NPR Tiny Desk contest. Uh-huh. And anyways, it hit the top 100 on their website, which was huge. And then just blew up into this, that's how The Voice found me. And so the song kind of just led me to everything, which is really crazy that a song could do that. And it's just kind of an interesting song. No one really knows exactly what it's about. So that's kind of fun to tell the story. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's what inspired it.
Very nice. Well, Hannah, it's been so fun talking with you again.
Yeah,
I'm so glad we had you on the show again this morning. Hannah Houston, Happy Holidays, a concert of Christmas classics, will be at the Lead Center Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Hannah will be joined by her band, and you can link to more information on the Friday Live page at netnebraska.org. Hannah, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
We're coming to you from the Mill Coffee and Tea this morning, and there is much more ahead with a director from Lincoln Boys Choir and a special event tonight at the Ross Media Arts Center. Stay right here with Friday Live on NET Radio. Film A Woman Up Heart will show at the Ross Media Arts Center tonight at 7:30 p.m., followed by a Q&A with filmmaker, writer, director, and artist Elizabeth Subrin. Danny Laidley is executive director of the Ross, and he joins me to talk about the film and its creator. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
Nice to see you here. So this film by Elizabeth Subrin features Maggie Siff in the lead role and has a character in it that is in sort of a crisis. What's going on in this film?
Well, Maggie Siff plays a character who is a TV actress, just like she is. And she's been doing a show for a while and has gotten really disillusioned and doesn't like the way the script is being written and throws a tantrum, more or less. And her agent says, why don't you take a break? Mm-hmm. So she goes back to New York City, where she got her start, and hooks up with some old friends. And they all have issues, and so they have to kind of work all that out.
Yeah.
Maggie Siff is great. The other two main characters, whose names I don't remember right now,
sure.
The actors, are really great. So acting is really, really wonderful. I wish Elizabeth was here but instead of me, but she's done a lot of work, but this is her feature film debut.
Oh,
but
cool.
She's done a lot of short films and videos in the past, been included in film festivals all around the world.
Yeah, this film premiered at the Rotterdam International Film Festival, I read. And then how did you come across it?
Well, actually, you remember Sahiri, I'm not saying he's right, Sathi?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Shrihari.
Yeah, Shrihari Sathi, yeah.
And he was on your show, I think, in August. He recommended her. He was a producer on this movie.
Okay.
And they've worked together on other stuff. So he recommended her. I knew about the movie, just hadn't gotten around to doing anything about it.
Sure.
So when he recommended her, I thought, oh, why not?
There must be all kinds of ways you come across the films that you program for the Ross Media Arts Center.
Yeah, a lot of... I pay a lot of attention to movie reviews.
Yeah.
I read them constantly. That's probably the main way. A lot of the distributors contact me pretty much constantly to try to get me to show their movies, and sometimes I do, and there are more movies than I can ever find room for in my theaters to show. So
yeah. Now, I mentioned earlier that there will be a Q&A after the 7:30 showing tonight. How is the Ross Media Arts Center able to bring directors into Lincoln like this? We've had, as you mentioned, several on the show. What are the logistics of doing that?
Yeah, the series is called the Geske Showcase. Norman Geske, who was the director of Sheldon, who hired me, who started the film program back in the 60s, was my mentor, really. And so I decided to name this series after him. And we started this series, we called it the Sheldon Film Theater Showcase, back in the 70s when I first started working at Sheldon.
Yeah.
And it's been going on ever since. And we're already working on visitors for next year.
Next year
in the spring, so.
Well, again, Danny Laidley, director at the Ross Media Arts Center, and we've been talking about Elizabeth Subrin's latest work, her first feature film. It's titled A Woman Apart, and Elizabeth will be at the Ross tonight following the 7:30 showing of her film for a Q&A with the audience, and that film is at the Ross there through December 22nd. Danny, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ahead on Friday Live, a Christmas comedy in Beatrice and the Winter Reflections concert from the Lincoln Boys Choir, informing and inspiring Nebraska with unique programming. This is NET Radio and netnebraska.org. Despite having a successful career writing for television and a wonderful husband and child, Eleanor Flood was going to do better. She was going to get her mind, body, and actions moving in a more positive direction starting today. What follows is a darkly comic novel from author Maria Semple, Today Will Be Different. All About Books host Pat Leach thinks the book will please a lot of readers, and you can catch the complete review on our website, netnebraska.org/allaboutbooks. Lincoln Boys Choir will give their Winter Reflections concert this Sunday at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Lincoln at 5 p.m. Kevin Sheely is Lincoln Boys Choir Associate Director and leads the concert choir. Kevin, welcome back to Friday Live.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, glad to see you again. So what pieces has the choir been working on for Winter Reflections?
We've got a lot of holiday favorites, a little bit of John Williams, the theme from Home Alone. It's kind of a perennial classic. It's kind of fun to talk with the boys about that. Have you seen the movie? Well, of course, you know. And we've got a sleigh ride based on a theme by Prokofiev, actually, from Lieutenant Kihi Suite. Just lots of holiday favorites. Jingle Bells, if you know the Streisand version, it's a little bit different with lots of multimeter thrown in there, so that was challenging for the boys.
And that does sound fun.
Yeah.
Now, what ages are we talking about in this choir?
Sure, we've got third through sixth grade boys in my choir, concert choir, and then we have a middle school-aged choir that tours more extensively, and then high school-aged boys as well. So we go all the way from third grade up through seniors in high school.
That's quite an experience for some of those kids who've probably gone all the way through.
Definitely. Most of our boys do that.
Uh-huh.
They start out at some point or another, third through sixth grade with me, and continue on most of the way. We do have some boys in high school that join us as high schoolers. So that's kind of a fun experience, too, to bring those boys in.
And does everyone perform on this concert? Or
yes.
Is it, okay.
We have all three choirs performing, about a little over 100 boys in all three choirs.
Uh-huh.
And so all three choirs perform their own set of five songs. We do a festive processional all together with piano and organ, which, of course, at St. Paul, you can't beat that. And then we do a closing at the end. The boys all sing Silent Night in German together. We invite the audience to sing a verse with us as well.
And then you mentioned piano and organ. So who's joining you to accompany the boys?
Sure. Karen Carr Ammons is the accompanist for the older boys with Bert Chernikov as the director. And my accompanist is Julie Schumacher.
Okay.
So it's a great, great pleasure to work with those two accompanists. They're wonderful collaborative pianists. And for Julie, she helps us out a lot at the organ as well. And so I was able to say, hey, let's try somewhere in my memory with the organ. Why not? Because we can.
It
was fun.
Very nice. And it is a beautiful instrument in that St. Paul there. What's next after the Winter Reflections concert for the boys?
Sure. Well, actually, we do have one more coming up tonight. Yeah. We'll be down in the Haymarket tonight with the younger boys, the concert choir, right out in front of the Creamery building, Ivana Cone, right out there. We'll be standing outside on the corner at about 7 o'clock, and we'll do a few numbers there. So if you're coming by to enjoy the Santa and his sleigh and all that stuff downtown, you'll hear some carols along the way as well.
That's pretty fun. So you've got that tonight, mm-hmm. and then the Winter Reflections concert right. coming up this Sunday.
Right. And then we're also going to be celebrating in the spring. In May, we'll have our final concert for the year. And this is our 15-year anniversary. Aww. So we're going to be doing some celebrating with that and hopefully have some collaborations and things as well.
Well, congratulations to the choir on those 15 years.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
I've been talking here with Kevin Sheely, who is Associate Director with Lincoln Boys Choir, about the Winter Reflections concert coming up this Sunday at 5 p.m. And then, of course, that performance in the Haymarket tonight as well. And what time was that one?
7 o'clock tonight, right in front of the Creamery building.
7 o'clock tonight. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you so much, Genevieve.
There's much more ahead. In just a minute, we'll learn about a slapstick comedy production for the holidays in Beatrice. And later on, we'll learn who guest dancers are in this year's Nutcracker from Midwest Ballet. If you hear about something interesting on Friday Live and you want to learn more, you can link to all the events you hear about on our website. You can also watch our live video stream there each week as well. Just go to netnebraska.org/radio. I'm Genevieve Randall. You're listening to Friday Live here on NET Radio. The comedy In-Laws, Outlaws, and Other People That Should Be Shot will be presented by the Community Players in Beatrice. Shows continue tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. and then Sunday at 2 p.m. Jamie Ulmer, Brandon Clark, and Bruce Hahn all join me to talk about it. It's great to have you all here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Okay, so this play is just like witty plus slapstick plus Christmas somehow.
It's a perfect combination, you know, or as I like to call it, it's my family reunion.
Right. It's just like that, right?
It's exactly like that.
Yeah. Tell us what happens in this show a little bit.
In the show, we've got this family that's preparing for Christmas Eve dinner, and it's kind of a wacky family anyway, and they're getting ready for dinner, and then there's a knock at the door, and it's some thieves that are on the run.
Uh-oh.
But then more people just keep showing up, and you start to wonder who's really being held hostage. Is it the family, or is it the crooks?
Mm-mm, interesting. There's a little twist in there. Now, Bruce, you're on the role of Uncle Leo.
Yes.
Tell me about your character.
Well, he's the elderly uncle, and he's got his wife, Rose. We sort of modeled it after Archie and Edith Bunker.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that there. And he's sort of a cranky old guy.
Not typecasting.
Yeah. Sort of a cranky old guy, and Rose sort of pushes him, nudges him constantly. So it's a lot of fun.
I'm sure it's fun to play. Yeah,
it is.
For sure.
It is.
And Brandon, you're directing the show. How do you work with actors on comedic timing and making the funny stuff work in this show?
For this one, it was actually relatively easier than I thought it would be, because a lot of the actors brought in their own experience and their own character that right after read through, which is our first rehearsal, they already had stuff planned out for the character. Like Bruce said, they already started basing their characters off of Archie. Mm-hmm. And so as far as like character comedy stuff, they had it down. So just working on the like slapstick portion of it, like you talked about earlier, mm-hmm. was kind of what we worked on during the rehearsal process. And every rehearsal, we kept coming up with new things. Once we started incorporating props, we started doing some stuff with that. And especially once we got the setup and started working with our full space is when a lot of the comedy elements really came together.
That's fun. I know theater organizations are always like, oh, no, I don't want to give anything away. But can you just give us a hint of maybe one or two little moments, some of that slapstick? Just give me a first taste. Just a, you know.
Well, I think my favorite little slapstick bit is there's a portion of the show where they're just saying funny names for coffee shops. And so one of the little things
very appropriate that
we mentioned
that here.
But and then Tony, who's kind of the main robber in this, is just kind of like getting so annoyed. And at one point, somebody says this horrible pun. He just goes up to the wall and just starts beating his head against it.
Oh, no. I love it. Now, community players often have actors returning for shows. Bruce, you're one of those. But this one also has some people making their community players debut. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, one of the things that we're really pushing right now is the inclusion of more and new actors in our productions. And our goal for this season is to see 20 new first-time actors.
Wow.
Fortunately, with this show, I think we have 5 first-time community players performers. And so, you know, we're halfway to our goal of 20 new actors for the season. And the new performers just bring such great excitement to the role. We were talking in the staff meeting actually the other day that you know, the new people, they're all of their friends and everyone wants to come see them in their first show. Whereas, you know, those of us who've been in a lot of shows, we're just like, our friends are like, oh, you're in another show.
right, that thing you do.
That's right. But you know, just such great energy and such great enthusiasm as people discover how much fun doing community theater is.
That's really cool. Have you guys been helping pull people in? Do you get to pull people in and get your friends to act?
Absolutely.
That's what I wonder what the recruiting process is for that. Like, hey, we need you to be on stage, right?
That's right. Well, I have an open tab at several bars. And
there we go. I've been talking here this morning with Jamie Ulmer, Brandon Clark, and Bruce Hahn with Beatrice Community Players, their production of the Christmas comedy In-Laws, Outlaws, and Other People Who Should Be Shot. That continues tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow also at 7:30 with an ugly sweater contest.
Sweater contest. You could win a community player's t-shirt and you get discounts at the concession stand.
Excellent. So wear those ugly sweaters. And then on Sunday at 2 p.m. Guys, thanks so much. It sounds like a fun show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
You too.
And you can link to more information by going to the Friday Live page at netnebraska.org/radio. Stay right here. There's more theater to talk about with a production in Manly, Nebraska, and I'll have highlights from our arts calendar, plus more here on Friday Live on NET Radio. Week here on Friday Live, we highlight arts and humanities across Nebraska, and each week we highlight even more in our podcast, The Friday Live Extra. This week we hear from poet Dwayne Speaker with poetry by Don Welch. Welch taught at UNK for many years, and in 2017, a book of his poetry, edited by Dwayne Speaker, won the Nebraska Book Award. You can listen to The Friday Live Extra to hear 2 poems appropriate for the season, download wherever you get your podcasts, or listen online at netnebraska.org/radio. Be sure to check out the arts calendar on our website, both to make plans and to add your event. The address is netnebraska.org/radio. Just click events. Here's some highlights. Agate Fossil Beds National Monument is hosting Solstice, Shooting Stars, and S'mores tomorrow at 5:30 near Harrison, with a presentation including a multicultural perspective on dark sky phenomena and ranger tips on night sky photography. At the Museum of Nebraska Art in Kearney, the Collection Connection presentation will highlight Czech Christmas customs with a member and curator from the Czech Museum in Wilbur. That's at 2 p.m. on Wednesday at Mona. And the Mari Sandoz High Plains Heritage Center in Chadron hosts an exhibition through this Thursday of work by Wes and Rochelle Segrist. The exhibition features 50 miniature paintings. For more information about these and other events, visit our website, netnebraska.org/radio. The Loft Community Theater in the small eastern Nebraska town of Manly is presenting The Forgotten Carols for three more shows tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night, and then Sunday afternoon. Artistic director and actor Kevin Colbert and actor Scott Pope are here this morning to tell us about it. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Great. Thanks for having us, Jennifer. Appreciate
it. Yes, absolutely. Kevin, you're wearing kind of two hats for this production, as I understand it. How did you end up being in the lead role?
Well, unfortunately, my... lead guy that I had cast in the show about, I don't know, 2 weeks into rehearsal had a regular doctor's appointment planned, and they did a heart cath on him and found his main arteries to be 98% blocked.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they said, well, you won't be doing any play.
Yeah, right?
You need to be into some surgery here. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know, there wasn't time to do the process. And, this was a role that I thought I was interested in anyway, so I thought, you know what, I'll just do it.
You get to be the understudy there.
Yes, I am the understudy.
Oh, my gosh.
And I knew the blocking, so it was like...
You hadn't written it yet at that point, I'm assuming. So.
No. All of our best wishes to your former cast member.
Yes, absolutely.
There,
and I do know that he's doing great. He's supposed to be at the show this weekend, so we look forward to seeing him. And, you know, we certainly thank him for getting things started. And really nice guy. He was a brand-new face to us, and so it was unfortunate the way that it worked out. But thank goodness that he got help.
He got help, and then you can step into that role. So tell us about both of your roles then in the show. Scott, what's your role in the production?
Well, actually, I wear a couple different hats. I'm the cab driver, and so, you know, the leads don't get anywhere without the cab driver, is what I was saying, although it's a fairly minor role, but it's a lot of fun. Uh-huh. But probably what I'm more excited about is we have a 30-plus member choir up on stage at that time. And so I get to join in the choir as well. And the choir has become kind of an integral part of the show. We're all just sitting back there watching the show develop as everything goes along. And it's been really interesting because there's a lot of new faces in the choir. People that, you know, wanted to be in theater but never really wanted to step on the stage. And this is their chance to get up, be in the choir, watch the show. And now they've seen the whole process develop. And I think we'll see a number of them back again, trying out again, which is awesome.
The bucket list people in there that, you know, always wanted to try this. There was no dancing or anything, and so it was sitting and singing and being on stage, and so they got an opportunity to make a check mark.
Yeah.
I think that this might be, I've tried to find as much as I could about it in Nebraska. I don't know anybody that's ever done this show.
Ah, The Forgotten Carols.
It started as a one-man show back in 1991. And he put the thing together. He's been touring with it and is touring with it this season as well. But I've never seen a date or a place east of Denver.
Huh.
So it's all been on
so
that side of the mountain.
This may well be a Nebraska premiere of The Forgotten Carols.
Yeah, it very well could be. And the music is dynamite. Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple new faces singing the music, and they're just great.
And tell us kind of what the show is about, or what it initially seems to be about.
It's about a gentleman who claims to be 2,000 years old. And he comes to a straight-laced nurse who seems to have lost her Christmas spirit, basically. And he says he's got this bag of ornaments and claims that these ornaments come from the shepherd who was there at the first Christmas, something from the innkeeper who turned Joseph and Mary away. And so as he tells these stories, a song goes with it, and that's the carols, supposedly, that throughout time have been forgotten. And throughout the course of, you know, it's Christmas, why her attitude gets changed and things happen. But it's got some comedy in it, but the music is very good, and the story is simple.
Huh.
It's very sweet. It's very heartwarming, and we've gotten pretty good response from it so far.
So is it a musical proper, or is it really kind of a play with songs?
Yeah, it is. It's a play with the songs is what it is.
I called it Hallmarkian with a song.
Yeah.
It's a Hallmark movie with songs.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah. There's no choreography or any big numbers. Most of the songs are solos.
Uh-huh.
There's not even, as a matter of fact, all of them are.
Yeah.
The choir joins on them, but other than that, it's mostly solos.
Kevin and Scott, for you each, what's the best thing about community theater for you guys?
I'll tell you what the best thing is for me, and it has been ever since I started it. On those moments when the show is over and I sit back and parents, friends, people come to the stage and talk to the people who are in the show, give them hugs and tell them how wonderful they were. When I see someone's self-worth go up and I see them get appreciated for what they do, the smile that comes over their face, that peace and that calmness that comes with an appreciation for a job well done, that's been the most important thing for me throughout the years, is to watch that. And I get to see it all the time, and it's just heartwarming.
Well, and I've been very fortunate. I actually met my wife doing a play years and years ago. We actually got married on the stage.
As did we.
As you did, yeah.
Same stage.
Yeah, same stage.
Yeah.
And my kids have all been in plays since then. And that was one of the things. My youngest daughter was very shy and reserved, which is hard to believe knowing my wife and I. We talked her into trying out for a play. She got a small bit part, and now that flipped the switch. And now she can, and I'm a firm believer, if kids can get up and speak in front of large groups, they can do anything in this world.
Absolutely.
If you can get up and overcome that fear of speaking, you've done a lot. And so I've seen both my kids, I've just seen them grow and develop. And I've seen it in other children too. You go, I remember that when you were just shy in the corner, and now up on stage, look at me, here I go. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
You know, speaking of kids, it's all ages for this show, right?
Actually, it's adult.
It's adult?
Yeah, we don't have children in the show.
No kids in the show.
No, there isn't.
But is it appropriate for all ages in the audience?
It is, absolutely is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, not a problem. Yeah.
All right.
Despite Kevin and I being in it, it is appropriate for children.
Despite the two of you,
despite the fact.
Nice. We've been talking here with folks from the Loft Community Theater. That's in Manly, and they're presenting Forgotten Carols, perhaps for the first time in Nebraska. Someone will let us know if that's not true, right?
Prove us wrong.
Yeah, prove us wrong. That's tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and then Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m.
Right.
I've been talking here with artistic director and actor Kevin Colbert and then actor Scott Pope. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
If this is the time when you have to get out of your car and you're feeling that kind of pain that you might miss something on the show, don't worry. We podcast the show each week, and you can look for that later this afternoon on our Facebook page or on our website. That address is netnebraska.org. I'm Genevieve Randall, and this is Friday Live here on NET Radio. The Lincoln Midwest Ballet Company presents an annual Lincoln holiday tradition, the Nutcracker, tomorrow and Sunday at the Lead Center. Assistant to the director, Ashley Durst, is joining me here to tell us more about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you here. How many times do you know has Nutcracker been produced in Lincoln? Is this...
For over 30 years,
it has been
at the Lead Center.
And have you been involved with a number of those?
Yes, I was actually in the Nutcracker 13 years ago for 10 years, and now I'm actually performing in it again for the first time in 13 years. So I'm very excited.
Well, that must be fun to come back to something after that break.
Absolutely. I've been helping with it for over 5 years, but it'll be exciting to be on stage again.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the Nebraska Symphony Chamber Orchestra is accompanying the dancers again this year.
Yes.
How important do you think it is to have that live orchestra play for this?
I think it is a great experience for students to learn how to perform with a live orchestra, and it's a great opportunity, and it sounds beautiful at the theater, so it's a great opportunity for everyone.
Yeah. Who are the guest artists this year, and what parts are they dancing?
Well, we have guest artists from all over the country, New York City, South Carolina, Idaho Ballet, Connecticut, and California. Eric Carnes, who will be playing the Snow King, is a great performer with McKaylee True as Snow Queen, and he's from Connecticut. So it's amazing to see these great guest artists from all over the country come and perform on the Lead Center stage.
Now, do you remember when you first performed, who those guest artists were? What was that like for you as a dancer to see those people come in and watch them dance? Does it give you a different perspective as a performer?
Absolutely. It's very inspiring, especially to even dancers at the age of 8. Yeah. It's very cool for them to aspire to that and see what they can become as dancers.
That's so neat. How many student dancers will be participating this year? And then who are some of the featured, you mentioned one featured student soloist, I believe. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the other features?
Emily Yost will be playing Clara, and she is so beautiful as Clara. It comes effortlessly to her. And we also have a few seniors that will be playing. Sarah DeBoer will be playing Flower Demi Dew. Mm-hmm. And we have a great cast of over 150 dancers, almost 200, over 200 try out each year. So it's a great opportunity and really cool to be a part of the Nutcracker.
When does all that start? It must take a long time to go through that process of auditioning and then rehearsals.
Well, the dancers audition in September, and we start rehearsals in October. So it actually goes pretty quick. We're very organized through the rehearsal process. You kind of have to be.
Sure.
But we learn it pretty quick.
Nice.
Yes.
What's your favorite part in the ballet? What do you think your favorite pieces are?
Oh,
either in the story or a dance or...
That's very hard. I love every part. I love the party scene because it comes, you know, to life, and it's a lot of fun. And I'd say every scene. Every year I have a new favorite scene.
Yeah.
And Sherry True, the artistic director, does a great job of making the show better each year. I don't know how she does it, but every year it gets better and her vision comes to life on stage, and it's wonderful to see.
That's so cool. The Lincoln Midwest Ballet Company is presenting the 33rd annual production of The Nutcracker. That's tomorrow at 2 and 7 p.m. and then Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Leeds Center for Performing Arts in Lincoln. We've been talking here with assistant to the director, Ashley Durst, and it's so nice to have you here this morning to tell us about it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. The Keelan Family Christmas and Arts for All in Omaha are still ahead here on Friday Live on NET Radio and netnebraska.org. I'm Genevieve Randall. Friday Live is coming to you from The Mill here in downtown Lincoln, and there is just one more show in 2017. We won't be at The Mill here next week, though. We are trying something new. We're bringing you a Friday Live Solstice and Christmas special with musical performances from guitarist Daniel Martinez, Plymouth Brass, Coro de Flauti, and many more, along with poetry from Dwayne Speaker, Twyla Hansen, plus Bob Hall will join us to reenact A Christmas at Fort Robinson in the early days of Nebraska. Don't miss next week's special show at 9 a.m. Central right here on NET Radio with a rebroadcast Monday night, Christmas Day at 6:30. The annual Keelan Family and Friends Christmas Concert is next Friday at Christ United Methodist Church in Lincoln, organized by Mally Keelan, who also performs with many other artists on that show. Accompanist Wanda Mandigo is here this morning to tell us about it, along with Pippa White. It's so good to see you both this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. How many of these Christmas concerts have both of you participated in? This has been going on for some time.
For 30 years.
30 years this year.
So this is the 30th anniversary. That is a big anniversary.
It is.
And will any of the Keelan family besides Mally also be there this year? I know sometimes it depends on schedules, but...
His daughter is living in Seattle, so she's not going to be playing the harp, unfortunately. And his son is in Kansas, and May's show up as a surprise to play the violin, but we don't know that for sure. He has a busy schedule at his college.
So. And we should mention that he also worked for us at NET for some time, and
absolutely.
I don't know if listeners knew when he was here that he's
That's
also
right.
a violinist,
yes. Yes.
A very accomplished violinist. What are both of your roles in the program? Tell us a little bit about how the program is put together.
Well, I am co-host, so I will be emceeing.
All right.
But there is always on the bill one piece that is not non-musical, and so that usually falls to the MC. So I will be telling a story, a Christmas story, not a personal one. I don't mean personal to me, not anyone's personal story. It's a true story of a kind of a remarkable Christmas event. So that's how I'll promo that.
Well, and some listeners may know, Pippa, that you are an accomplished storyteller, so
well,
that's appropriate.
Well, thank you, Genevieve. I appreciate that.
That you would be the storyteller as well as the MC. And tell us a little bit about the music on the program and Wanda, what all you're accompanying here.
There are always a good variety of acts on the program. This year we have Betsy Bobenhaus and Antonio Forgione, who perform together as Duo Primo. They will be performing, and they have a recital coming up at Wesleyan on February 4th.
Oh,
so
cool.
That will be something additional to go to later.
And that's guitar and flute, am
guitar
I right?
Guitar and flute.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A nice combination. Yes.
In stereo from
alike,
the two of you.
I know. And then Sandy Van Pelt will sing, and I will be accompanying her.
Okay.
There will be the choir of the singers that will be directed by Nancy Shane. Mm-hmm. She's been doing that for a while. Wilma Reiner Sundin will be doing a little accompanying and also play some solos. Jim Kula plays his guitar and sings. And Dr. Stu Westberg will be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mally and Pippa will be doing some emceeing, and Mally will hopefully be able to sing. He's been having a little cold, but hopefully
yes,
it'll be good so he can sing. And he and Sandy
are going
to do it.
Just hear his beautiful tenor voice. I'm
absolutely
sure we will.
Seems to be the season for those viruses, unfortunately.
And Sandy are going to do a duet or two, so
okay,
that'll be nice, too.
Now, this concert is dedicated to two very good friends of the Keelan family. Would you like to talk about that?
Oh, the proceeds, the benefit?
And that, that
and
as well.
The in memory of.
Yes.
Well, Phyllis Spahn, of course, was Fringe and Tassel, wasn't she?
Mm.
For
yes,
so many, many years.
And she did costuming for Mal for many, many shows.
As she has helped me on many an occasion. So I'm glad that we are doing something in her memory. And can you speak to...
And Maury Collier was also a member at Christ United Methodist and has been, you know, a teacher in Lincoln and has produced many wonderful violinists. And so we, because they're both members of the church, mm-hmm, we thought that would be a nice time to have it in memory of them.
And longtime musician in Lincoln, of course, too.
Right.
Yeah. And then you did mention, too, that there is a benefit for this concert. And what is the organization there?
Okay, I can talk about that because I've been very involved with it for a long time. Lincoln Music Teachers Association is a group of independent teachers in Lincoln. And 10 years ago, in its present form, we started the Music Outreach Program,
mm-hmm,
which provides music lessons for people, for children in the city who cannot afford to pay for regular lessons from a professional teacher. And we do that by writing grants and accepting donations because we pay the teachers. Before that, it started out as a volunteer process, and we found we couldn't get enough teachers to teach enough of those students. So we started writing grants in order to pay the teachers so they get a reasonable amount of money for the lessons they're teaching also. And they still donate some of their time. There's just no way around that. But we have now, we started out 10 years ago with 30 students. We now have 50 students in Lincoln. They are each can have as many as 44 lessons a year.
Hmm.
And so it's a big project. And then one of the things that the teachers need to do is provide an opportunity for the students to perform on a community service recital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a really nice thing because the students are able to give back to the community, which helps us through donations in all kinds of ways.
Sure. Well, how nice to have a concert for musicians, essentially.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And we do have a young violinist that is playing also. She's not part of the Music Outreach Program, but she is a freshman at East High,
huh?
Larissa Myers, And she will be playing a solo on the program because he likes to have young talent also.
Sure.
Right, and everyone involved in the concert is giving of their time and talents. And, you know, for 30 years, Mally has raised a great deal of money to give back to the community.
Lots of different charities.
Indeed.
All right. This is the 30th annual Keelan Family and Friends Christmas Concert, and that is next Friday at Christ United Methodist Church, 7 o'clock or 7:15 p.m. 7:15 p.m. in Lincoln. Wanda Mandigo and Pippa White have been telling us about the concert. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Genevieve, for having us.
And happy holidays to you both.
Me too. Good to see you.
We'll meet the stars of a holiday cabaret presented by Nebraska Repertory Theater in about 6 minutes here on Friday Live. Arts for All in Omaha has many projects coming up. Corbin Hirschhorn of KVNO talks with Judy Mallory about what the organization is all about.
Arts for All is a nonprofit organization in Omaha dedicated to providing affordable arts education for all ages. The organization offers a wide range of weekly classes in 5 different locations across town, covering drawing and painting, instrument lessons, dance, acting, writing, and more. Founder Judy Mallory.
We have so many different kinds of art classes, for example, and this year we're expanding because we are focusing on, I'm going to call it the STEAM program. Education focuses on STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, and that's fine. I want to add art, so I make it STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And we've developed some classes that bring those things in. But if you were going to a site, you could find many of these different classes or topics or materials available. And we love it when a parent takes a guitar class, for example, with their child, or grandparents come in and take some things with their children or grandchildren. And it's really nice to see families doing things together.
Mallory, a recipient of a local Jefferson Award for Public Service, believes that art education is an important but perhaps threatened asset to the community.
I've had this vision for 30 years of a way to provide arts education for people to see the beauty in the world, to express themselves, to have all the benefits the art can bring, because they get cut usually at the first things when schools are looking at how to cut back on expenses. We live in a society that values sports highly. I still value them, but I also want equal opportunities for the arts.
Mallory was dedicated to arts education even before founding Arts for All in 2006. Since then, the organization has grown, continuing to expand into new disciplines, seeking new collaborations.
I was the director of a program similar to what Arts for All is at a nonprofit, and they closed it down just when we were getting ready to offer classes. And so I said to the people that were working with us that we needed to offer our own version of this type of program. And so we quickly said, okay, we have people enrolled in our program, even though we closed the doors at some places, but we're going to call them all up and see if they'd be interested in coming to a new nonprofit. And we decided to call it Arts for All because we really did not want to discriminate against anyone. Everybody should have the art opportunity. Everybody's born creative, and we wanted them to realize that.
Arts for All also welcomes collaborations with other organizations and schools, expanding access to the arts in Omaha.
We are also partnering with Courteous Kids, nonprofit, and we are working on a program called Emma's Art Kit Program. A winner of a Jefferson Award, that a person that I met, is a 15-year-old girl who is struggling with cancer since she was 7, brain cancer. And her goal is to see that 150,000 children or youth in hospital-type situations have art materials to use. She has been in and out of hospitals so many times, and when she would be there, she would enjoy using art materials, and she wanted them to have whoever it would be, wherever it would be in the United States, to have an opportunity to express themselves and deal with the stress they're under by using art materials. So we have been working on this. I promised them that we would help in their goal of 150,000 because it also matches our mission of making the arts available and affordable for everyone.
In January, Arts for All will collaborate with Children's Hospital, offering young patients art kits with materials for drawing, painting, and sculpting. Arts for All's 14-week winter semester begins January 15th. Enrollment is open until the second week of February. For more information about classes or donating materials for Emma's art kits, visit artsforallinc.com. For Friday Live, I'm Corbin Hirschhorn.
Thanks for listening to Friday Live and for supporting NET with your donations at netnebraska.org/donate. I'm Genevieve Randall, and I'm joined next here at the Mill by Molly LeCaptain, Taylor Robinson, and Darcy Bender Hubbard to tell us about the Nebraska Repertory Theater's Holiday Cabaret. That's performed by past rep performers, emerging artists, and special guests, including our guests here this morning. The shows continue tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. and again Sunday at 2 p.m. And these three lovely ladies at the table here are part of Lakeshore Dolls. Welcome to Friday Live this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And we were just chatting before. This is your first time in Nebraska, yes?
Yes, for two of us.
Yeah, for two of you. I've been here before.
You've been here before. Well, so welcome. Yeah. As I mentioned, all three of you are in Lakeshore Dolls, which is a singing trio. So where are you all from, and how did you get brought to Nebraska for this show?
So I'm originally from Illinois, and
I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin,
and I am from Bay City, Michigan.
Okay.
So we're all from the Midwest, and we met doing a show called Sweet Charity about 3 years ago.
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we all live in Chicago, and we started singing together, and we met Andy Park mm-hmm. in Chicago before he came out here, and he is the one who brought us out here to be in this cabaret.
So Andy Park, who's director for Nebraska Repertory Theater. Now, the style that the three of you sing in is kind of reminiscent of, say, like the Andrews Sisters. How did you all get interested in singing that particular music?
Well, I was in a similar group like this when I lived in Las Vegas, and I wanted to take it one step further and do Andrews Sisters type style, but also sing contemporary music too. So we do 1940s through current time. So it's really, really fun.
Sounds cool. The cabaret that you guys are a part of includes Nebraska Rep's artistic director, who we just talked about, Andy Park, who I understand is bringing some puppets. There's a cast of like 14 people total, and you've already had two shows this week. So what are some highlights of the show that you can tell us about?
I mean, initially when we first got here, we weren't really sure what to expect. We usually do a cappella, but they told us that we could make use of the band, and we didn't know what kind of caliber musicians we would have, and we were just blown away by their
fantastic
musicality. So that's my biggest highlight, I would say. They're great.
They are fantastic.
Cool. How about for you, Taylor? What's a highlight for you?
Well, it's also really fun to see all these students. They are blowing me away. They're great. They're really, really great.
Yeah.
What are some of the other kinds of things we'll see other than singing and puppets from Andy? I'm curious about Andy's puppet work. I really am.
It's fantastic. It's not to be missed, for sure. There are some bits of comedy in there as well, along with some holiday classics and some not-so-holiday classics. So it's a nice variety.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice mix. So what's next for Lakeshore Dolls after this holiday cabaret? What do you guys do after you head out from Nebraska?
Well, we go back to Chicago, and we are performing in at the Chris Kindle Market at downtown Chicago next week for the holidays, and then we're home for the holidays. So we're excited. This is really getting us in the spirit.
Yeah, I bet. Lakeshore Dolls, they are the headliners for the Nebraska Repertory Theater's Holiday Cabaret. That's tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., and then again on Sunday at 2 p.m. Molly, Taylor, and Darcy, thanks so much for talking with me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up this morning on NET Radio, classical music on Morning Concert, and this afternoon, Laura Black and Classics by Request. Be sure to visit the NET website for podcasts of the show at netnebraska.org/radio. Thanks to everyone who makes Friday Live possible, including engineers James DeShano, Kent Baker, and Lathan Latimer, and associate producer Dave Hughes. Thanks also for help today from Brandon McDermott. I'm Genevieve Randall.